Let me paint a picture for you. You've just pulled into the church car park. You've carefully got out. You've strolled up to the front doors of church. You've cheerfully said hello to someone coming in the door. You've wandered down the aisle. You've grabbed a seat. And now you're sitting here, twiddling your toes inside your socks, inside your nice, clean shoes. But your feet are clean. And I say this because we don't usually come across dirty feet these days. The closest we get is maybe if you're wearing thongs and there's police horses about. Then you've got to really watch out what you're doing. But most of the time, our feet are actually one of the cleanest parts of our bodies. Your shoes go on when you leave home, they come off when you get home. And maybe that's the reason I got this passage. Maybe it was decided that I'd be the one that would best relate to the idea of having dirty feet, and so the need for them to be cleaned. But in Jesus' time, things were quite different. When you shared the road with animals, when there wasn't really sewage systems, and add to that you're wearing sandals, it's inevitable that your feet aren't going to be quite as clean as they are right now. And so over the past few years at Evening Church, we've been going through John's Gospel. And we've been starting a series this week that focuses in on the Last Supper, the final hours that Jesus has with his disciples before he goes to the cross. And through John's Gospel, he's been saying his hour has not yet come. But now, his hour has come. And what does Jesus' hour mean? Flick with me back just one chapter to chapter 12, verse 23. It says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then go to our passage today, chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus, knowing that the time has come, his time to be glorified and to return to the Father, shares this meal with his disciples where he shows them the full extent of his love. And there's a bit of a question that started up here, isn't it? This question that Jesus is going to be answering over the next couple of chapters in the book of John is that how is it more loving for Jesus to go than to stay? How is it more loving for the disciples that Jesus would actually leave them and go to the Father? And how is it more loving for us now that Jesus is with God rather than with us right here? That's what we're going to be answering over the next couple of weeks at church. And all through this meal they share, this meal that stretches over the next few chapters of John, that is the question the disciples keep asking. Where is he going? Why can't they go with him? But it's out of love that Jesus must go. It is out of love for his people that Christ must go to the cross and be glorified. And this passage that we have today gives us an example for the love that Jesus shows. Love that is modelled first by washing the disciples' feet, but shown truly at the cross. In tonight's passage, Jesus acts out a parable. As we like to tell our Year 2 scripture class, that a parable is just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But in tonight's passage, instead of Jesus telling them a story, he acts it for them. He acts out something, the washing of their feet, something that was necessary in everyday life, but this earthly event has a much deeper heavenly meaning. This dramatized parable shows us three things about Jesus' love for his people. That Jesus' love is sacrificial, that Jesus' love is all that we need, and that Jesus' love transforms. There are 3 points for today, but before we jump into this passage, how about I pray for God's help to understand what he has to say to us. Now let's pray. Lord, as we open your word now, we pray that you would teach and guide us from it. We thank you for the love that Christ has for us. Please help us to comprehend the depth of his love, and might that love lead us in humble service for you and your people. Amen. So, our first point for tonight, Jesus' love is sacrificial. The love that Jesus shows his disciples as he acts out this parable is real sacrificial love, that he would give up his position at the table, take on the position of the lowest of servants, and sacrificially serve them, even though he is the one there most worthy to be served. As Jesus and his disciples are all sitting around about to have the meal, John makes it very clear to us that Jesus is in complete control. He knows what's going on. He's not getting blindsided here. Look with me to verse 2 and to know what Jesus knows about the situation. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus knows that Judas would betray him. He knows that all things are under his power. He knows that he's come from God and he's going back to God. So, what would you expect to happen next? The Son of God is on earth, all power has been given to him, he knows he's about to be betrayed. What would you expect to happen? Would you expect him to find a way to outwit those who are going to betray him? Would you expect him to summon a host of angels and deliver justice to all those who oppose him? What do you do when someone's about to betray you, when you know someone's about to wrong you? What do you do when someone steals that car spot you've been looking for 20 minutes? Because Jesus doesn't do any of these things. He gets up, he adopts the position of the lowest of servants, and he shows his sacrificial love to his disciples by washing their feet, including Judas's. And what a display of humility that is, that the one person, the Son of Man, the most deserving of all people to ever walk on the earth, to have his feet washed by anyone, washes the filthy, slimy muck off the 12 feet of his disciples, or 24 feet, including the one who is about to get up and betray him. And as Jesus washes the disciples' feet, he gives us an example of what he does for us at the cross. That at the cross, he would wash all our sin away. That he would take all this sin on himself. That is what sacrificial love looks like. That the one who is worthy, the one who has lived up to God's standard, the one who has never sinned, would sacrificially take on the punishment that we all deserve. And this acted parable is an example not just of the cross, but if you kind of zoom out a bit, it's actually an example of Jesus' whole life. Think bigger picture. In verse 4, he rises from the table and he takes off his robe. Christ leaves his place in heaven, John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Then he ties a towel around his waist. He takes on the position of a servant. Then in verse 5, he washes the disciples' feet. That's the same as he washes us our sin clean at the cross. And then in verse 12, once finished washing their feet, he puts back on his garment and returns to his place. After dying on the cross and rising again, Christ ascends into heaven, regaining his rightful position. You can see how this drama of the feet washing, it's a bigger picture of Christ's life. This acted parable, it shows Christ's sacrificial love, that he would be willing to go to the cross to take the punishment that we all deserve for disobeying God. And that's where Christ's love is so different. That he would come not to be served, but to serve. Because we can't help ourselves. He sacrificially gave up his position that we might be washed clean. Which leads us to our second point, that Jesus' love is all we need. Because not all the disciples are happy to have their feet washed. And they fall into this trap that we too fall into so often. We know that Jesus' death has paid for our sin, but we keep thinking that there is that little bit extra we need to do to get us over the line. We fall into this same trap, forgetting that Jesus' love is all that we need. Read with me in verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." When Jesus gets to Peter, Peter questions him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Peter, he's clearly confused about what's going on, that the lowest of tasks, left for the lowest of servants, is being performed by Jesus. Peter, he doesn't get this sacrificial love that Christ is showing. But in fact, Peter is still thinking that he is the one who is going to serve Christ, not that Christ is going to serve him. But Jesus shows Peter that he is the one who needs to wash his people, and that he is the only way, that unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And Peter here, he swings from, on one hand, refusing to be served, on the other hand, then to disbelief that he's been saved. He thinks that he needs to be completely washed again. But what Peter forgot is that he was already made clean when he put his trust in Christ. When Peter put his trust in Christ, Christ took on his sin at the cross, taking the punishment that Peter could never pay. And it's passages like this that keep reminding us that we are completely saved by Christ through his death on the cross, but yet we still need to keep returning to him and looking to the cross in repentance as we live our lives. But through that, remembering that Christ has already made us clean. Once we are saved, we need to remain in Christ. That love is all that we need. This weekend, the MTS trainees and Gav have all been up in Katoomba. We've been at Mission Minded, a conference encouraging people to think about mission and to think about doing MTS next year. At the start of the first session on Sunday, the MC got up and said, "How lucky is Jesus that we are all here thinking about mission?" And then he paused and he waited. And he waited to see if people would realise what he had just said. If people had, once that had sunk in, if people would realise how wrong a statement like that is. Jesus doesn't need us to serve him. He doesn't need us and all our goodness to come and help him out. No, no, no. It's us who need to be served by him. But it's too often, isn't it, that we think like that. We think how lucky it is that Jesus has us. When we have a good week, when we're on top of our Christian game, we begin to think that our service to Christ can somehow add to the love that he has for us. We forget who's done the work and we try and claim credit for something we haven't done. It would be like the water boy at the AFL Grand Final yesterday, jumping up on the stage and starting to tell everyone how he won the game and how great he was in this game. We keep thinking that we are the ones who will serve Christ rather than he serving us. And what Jesus is illustrating with the washing of their feet is that his love is all that we need, and that we need to continually keep looking to the cross as we struggle with sin, to keep returning to Christ for ongoing help. Our final point for tonight is that Jesus' love transforms us. Jesus, in this dramatised parable, has given us an example of what sacrificial love looks like. He has shown us that his love is all that we need. But once we've accepted this love, we are called to love others in the same sacrificial way. Jesus commands us for us to serve each other in this way. After Jesus has finished washing the disciples' feet, he says in verse 15, "I've set an example for you, an example that you should do as I have done for you." And I just want to notice the order in which these events have happened. They are washed by Jesus, then commanded to do the same. They're not commanded to do the same and then they'll be washed clean. No, they're washed, then commanded. Because that's the order in things happen. We're saved, then called to serve. And a big question that often comes out of this passage is, well, if Jesus commands them in verse 14 to wash each other's feet, verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. If Jesus says this, why don't we? Why don't we have a little basin at the back door and once a year everyone gets rostered onto foot washing duty? Well, we need to remember that this is an acted parable. In the same way that when Jesus tells them about scattering the seed, he's not talking about going to your back garden and do some gardening. It's a parable. It's an acted parable, and Jesus is giving his disciples, he's not giving his disciples a ritual. He's not giving them another thing that they need to follow. But he's giving them an example of what humble service looks like. Jesus picked the lowest of jobs. If he is willing to drop to the position of a servant and wash his disciples' feet, then we shouldn't see any position of service as too small for us. And so from this passage, here are a few ways that this might apply to you. Firstly, and this is by far the most important, have you been washed by Christ? This needs to be first. I teach a year scripture class over at North Sydney Dem with Jared. And the thing that we've been trying to get into them all year, the last year they have of scripture in primary school, is that being a Christian isn't about trying to be a good person to be accepted by God. It's about realizing that we need to be washed, that there's nothing that we can add. And you might be sitting here thinking, oh, gee, my feet are pretty clean. They're in my shoes. They're good. I don't need to be washed by Jesus. But all of us have fallen short of God's glory, and all of us need this forgiveness that he offers. So have you been washed clean by him? This has to come first. Because no amount of humble sacrificial service can cover up a life of sin. Only Jesus can do that, which is why he went to the cross. And we need to get this right, because the consequences are serious. If you are not washed by Jesus, Jesus says to you, you have no part with me. Secondly, why do you serve? Here at Evening Church, we're so thankful that so many of us that serve around the church to keep everything going. Think of Jaffa, Lights, Kids Church, Adam's out at the moment, scripture teaching, counting music sound, welcoming, discipleship group leading, the property committee. There's so many ways that people serve, and we are so thankful for the work that you all do. But why do you serve? Do you serve because it's fun? Do you just serve because it's convenient? Do you serve with your free time, or have you made time? And have you had to actually say no to things that your friends are doing in order to serve in this way? I know, for example, the Lights leaders, it's a huge commitment they give up. On Friday night, when all their friends are out together, they're here teaching the youth about Jesus. Because when Christ sacrificially showed us his love and served us at the cross, he gave up everything. That is the example we are called to follow. And thirdly, what are the foot washing ministries around the church? I didn't really want to mention any here because I don't want to kind of elevate them too high. But what are the things that no one wants to do? We all know this is what they are. The things that when you get asked, you turn your nose up. You kind of come up with an excuse as to why you can't do that. Because if this is the model of service that Jesus has set for us, that's what we're called to follow. If the model is to give up everything in service of one another, in love for one another, then we need to examine our own hearts when we say to no to service that might be hard or costly or unrewarding, and to keep reminding ourselves how Christ has served us. Jesus acts out this parable to his disciples by taking on the position of a servant and washing their feet to show the extent of his love, that his love is a sacrificial love, that his love is all that we need, and that his love should transform us and lead us to one another. And that is why Jesus had to go to the cross. It's why he had to leave his disciples. It's why he had to leave us. He had to go to the cross to show them the extent of his love, that he loves us so much that he would go to the cross, that he, a righteous man, might take our place. And that is the example of service that Christ sets us here. And it's as tough, it's as hard, it's as extreme as it gets. And so we desperately need his help as we seek to love and serve one another. We need to keep looking back and be immersed and transformed by the love that Christ has shown for us at the cross. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the love that you showed us at the cross. We pray that the love that we have received, that we have been washed by the blood of Jesus, that we would show to others in the way that we love them, in the ways that we serve you. Amen.